And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 19th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 20. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show. If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number. You can go to ingamechat.net to find all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. Search, you know, InGameChat. You'll be able to watch us. You'll be able to join in the chat room. Speaking of chat rooms, and by the way, I think the internet's working okay today. It still ain't the best, but we seem to be doing pretty good. Streaming, voice, all this other stuff seems to be doing okay. Discord. If you want to pop into our Discord channel, if you want to link to our Discord, it is at our website. I don't know how to tell you, you know, how to get to it, like discord.com/something. I don't know. But there is a link at our website. If you go to ingamechat.net, there is a link in our Twitter. There is a link on our Facebook page from a couple of different posts back. For you guys to join the Discord. It'll take you there. We've got a room where you can join in and talk with us on the air. So that maybe you don't want to call in, or maybe you can't call in. Maybe you just can't, for whatever reason, you can't call in. Well, now you can just go into our Discord. You can listen to the show, and then, you know, we can take your questions or your comments or whatever while you're in there. So it's just another outlet, another way for you guys to get in touch with us, another way for you to be interactive with the show as well. We're all up for that. Like I said, we're streaming on Twitch. You can join the chat room live while we broadcast, and it is going to be a busy day of talking about what we saw at E3, the rest of E3 that remained. Now, we got a little bit of E3 last Saturday with Devolver Digital, Ubisoft as well. I think there was some other stuff, like Gearbox did something. I don't know. Basically, it was Ubisoft and Devolver, so we may touch on those a little bit later on. But really, we're going to go down all that stuff from Microsoft, from Square Enix, the little bit we can, all the stuff with PC gaming, Nintendo, and what they showed up. Then there's like a bunch of wrap-up articles about E3. Some of them saying, this was a horrible E3. Some of them saying, this was better than expected. Some of them saying, this is why we don't need E3. So, you know, there's plenty of... It runs the gamut of good, bad, needed... not needed.
So it's a typical response, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. I'm in the we don't need E3 as it is camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it needs to evolve. It needs to change. It needs to figure out a way to work. And, but at the same time, I'm also of the camp of, like, you know, video game companies don't need it. In other words, they don't need E3. I don't know about us, but I don't think video game companies need E3. It's nice to be under that umbrella. It's kind of like, and this is the only way apparently that I can relate it to, is wrestling. Whenever WrestleMania weekend used to come around, now this was before the pandemic, back when, you know, WrestleMania just pulled in the crowds. But whenever WrestleMania weekend, and I'll pick Orlando I think it was Orlando that they were at. I'll pick Orlando as the location of wherever one of their WrestleManias were, because I know they did this. And I think they did it in Atlanta, too. A bunch of other wrestling companies would hold events around that area, mm-hmm. around that time, because it was just more wrestling for people to go see, because they knew it was going to be influx with a lot of people. So they took advantage of it and said, well, it's WrestleMania weekend at this place. So there's going to be a ton of wrestling fans, so let's put wrestling shows there, and we'll just kind of pull some of the money off of what they're going to be spending for WrestleMania and that sort of thing. Works the same way, I think, in gaming, is that if you can go Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with press conferences and reveals and news and stuff like that and have it all kind of in a row, you're under that umbrella, you're probably getting more views. If you start throwing it like, well, we're not going to be a part of this week-long thing for E3, we're going to put ours 2 weeks later, and then we're going to, and that's only going to cover sports games, and then 3 weeks we're going to do our action games, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They would kind of classify the ways they were going to do that sort of thing, or they were going to do all of it in one go, but it was going to be at some point later in the month or year. And the same way with it, because last year it was all scattershot. And I'm not saying that didn't work for me, because it wasn't all kind of condensed into one thing, but it may have worked for them. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But they can do what they want to do. They don't need E3 to do it. Do they need the umbrella of E3? Kind of like those other smaller wrestling shows need the umbrella of WrestleMania to pull in the money, mm-hmm. Or to pull in the crowd, to pull in the views, to pull in the eyeballs? Possibly. Mm-hmm. Possibly. I don't actually know. I know we had it last year, but last year was just an oddly different year. I like it to be, you know, back to back to back to back. It's kind of nice. I would say by Monday, I think I was like, okay, I'd really like to have a break here before we start jumping into Nintendo and what they've got going on tomorrow, the next day, mm-hmm. that type of thing. Basically, Xbox Bethesda put on a really great show, and that's the one we're gonna jump into right at the beginning. But before we get into that, and before I tell you why they put on a good show, and you may agree with me as to that they put one on, but we may have different reasons as to why. Maybe not, actually. I don't know. And if you want to voice those or tell me your experiences with it, call us or head over to our Discord, and we'll pull you in. First off, we'll talk about what we played. For me, it's only been Destiny, of course. That's it. I played it, you know, last Saturday after the show. I played it Sunday, and then I didn't touch it again until this morning. Played it some more. So basically 3 days of, well, not even 3 days, basically Saturday and Sunday are both half, so a day and a half of some Destiny playing throughout the week. That's pretty much it. Mm. I think what I'll do, actually, you know what I think I'll do is, I don't know. We'll see. We'll touch on this. I don't know. I just thought about you're only playing Destiny, but you've got a bunch of other games to play. But if you're only playing Destiny on Saturday and Sunday, then why not spend like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, give a little time to play something else. That way I can tell you more about it. I just thought about it.
But you may run into the problem of having so many titles to pick from, you can't narrow it down to one or two.
Maybe. Right now, and I really need to jump on this, but right now there are a massive amount of demos from E3 that are available on Xbox and on PC. I don't know about PlayStation. I don't know that they've got any there, but I know that Xbox has at least 40 different games that are available for only about a week. That's it. And you can download them and play them. I downloaded some, but I haven't played them yet. I don't know if you saw new games downloaded on the machine. I'm talking to Wendy over here. Mm. Because, oh, we're going to ask her what she's played too. Yeah. Don't hit your microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you have a headset there. Okay.
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
One day she'll have a camera on her, but she doesn't want a camera yet.
Nobody says.
What? You know we have one. All you got to do is say, "Hey, when am I going to get one?" Or can I get on camera? I'll totally put you on camera. You totally did not want to be on camera the most of the time you were in here.
Well, I'm not talking most of the time. I'm just sitting here answering the phone.
There
you
go. Yeah. Move that in front of you there.
There we go.
Okay, let's put out, let's get out of the way. Wendy, would you like to have a camera next week?
Sure, RJ. That would be great.
She keeps hitting her
microphone.
I know.
These headphones. Okay. Sorry.
My first radio job. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we make mistakes every week.
Yeah, so for me, it's only been Destiny. Well, yeah, really. What's it been for you, RJ?
I played a bunch of Virtual Fighter V Ultimate Showdown, of course, because I'm trying to build my stats up in that game. A lot of people have put a lot of work in there. I've got a buddy of mine who's got 1,200 matches under his belt already, and I'm just barely scratching under 200. My work schedule and things like that, I don't get to play as much as I'd like to. But I know it's going to be a process, and I'm going to be cleaning up with all the people playing on there. I mean, it's just really nice to see that this game is getting a lot of work put in for players across the across the country right now. So I know I'm going to have some folks to play with, and as always, I can always make rooms with folks and make arrangements and get things started. Probably going to see some tournaments in the future with this game, and I'd really like to attend that if I could. Let's see, outside of that, more MLB The Show, getting some reps in with my Diamond Dynasty team. Also been playing, I saw that Cyberpunk got another update. Didn't get a chance to look into it.
It did. I don't know what kind of an update it got. I don't think that was the console update.
No, whatever it was 30 gigs worth of stuff to put on the
system. Maybe it was. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. When you have a week like E3 week, some things tend to fall through the cracks or mm-hmm. get buried under a number of other things going on. So that could have released. I know they were supposed to release, or at least we know it's coming. I don't know if it's arrived yet. Was the upgrade to the game so it'll run better on the Series X and the PlayStation 5, the next-gen mm-hmm. consoles. They mm-hmm. were supposed to get upgrades for that, and I don't know if that was it or not mm-hmm. from what you were saying. But
no, it was like 30-something gigs, took a long time to download, and it was on there, but I never got a chance to look into it. It was also, like I was saying, a lot of downloading I had to go through because all the stuff that was going on. But outside of that...
Oh, with the Cyberpunk thing?
Yeah. Cyberpunk, yeah. So I didn't get to play much because of the download. I couldn't play online. So outside of that, that's pretty much all I've got to play
Let's
this
see.
Week.
Cyberpunk 2077 update.
Yeah, 30-something gigs it was.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
What is this one? This is patch 1.2.3. They're fixing all these missions. This is in-game stuff. I don't care about this. Visual stability and performance. PC specific. Xbox specific. Nope. Good update, or big update, I guess, but not...
About the one you were talking about?
Not the one I was talking about, no. Nope. So, anything else? Just that?
I dove into a little bit of Grand Theft Auto V as well. They got some events going on. Still mm-hmm. going stronger all this time. Go figure. But I was able to get some discounts on stuff, pick up some things, reintroduce myself to some missions and whatnot.
You're playing that on the PS4?
PS4, okay. Yeah.
Because we had in the miscellaneous section here, I went through the news because there was so much of it, and I sort of categorized everything as mm-hmm. far as what it is. And GTA Online is going to be shutting down in December for users on PS3 and Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
They will keep the PS4 and the Xbox One and then, you know, the new stuff. They'll keep all that going, but they're going to shut down the online component of GTA in December for the last-gen consoles, PS3 and Xbox 360. Yeah. Or the last-gen, since there is already an... I don't know. There's a next-gen, current-gen, last-gen. So I guess we're still in...
Older gen?
I think we're still in the current gen, which is an interesting thing to be a few months away from a year on these console releases. I say a few months, it's a little bit more than that, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Normally, at this time, we would already be counting that, you know, this is, you wouldn't say next gen consoles. Mm. You'd say current gen, PS5, Xbox, Series X. Because of, again, you look back at last year, because of the way last year was, because of the shortage of things, it still feels like next gen isn't in enough people's hands to categorize it as current gen. You know what I'm saying? Current generation. That's what it just feels that way.
It's the newest system out right now.
It is, but normally that shortage only happens between like the release and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's all done, you're usually pretty good, especially into the summer of next year.
Yeah.
You should be pretty good at just walking into a store and getting your system if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's still not the case, and so it still feels weird to call it current gen or to call next gen current gen, because it just it seems like there's more people still playing the 4 and the 1 that are playing the 5 and the X. So I don't know. Little stupid things like that run through my head.
But I was playing the newest Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. I was playing a little bit of that as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to go through the story mode of that new version again, and it was kind of a shock to me to have to go from level 140 something back to level 1. On this part, you have to go through the story mode first to get everything reacquainted, I guess. So I'm gonna have to slog through that for a little bit. So at least I'll get an entertaining story out of it throughout the whole process, and then we'll see what happens. See if I can splice what I've gotten the original game as opposed to the new stuff, or is it going to have to be a whole new playthrough altogether? We'll see when I find. Well, I'll find out when I get through it, though.
All right, Wendy, what have you played?
I discovered Hellblade.
Yeah, you played that, right?
I've got it.
Oh, I thought you had played it.
No, I've got it.
Oh.
There's a ton of titles I've got, but I haven't played yet.
Well, yeah. So?
See, that's something I got to work on.
I discovered Hellblade, and I love it, and I finally found a game that speaks to me.
I only laughed at the game. Well, because you played Animal Crossing for a very long time, at least pretty heavily dedicated to checking in every day and that sort of thing.
Well,
so that speaks to you, right?
It's just simple and it's pretty mindless, you know.
Right,
you
Animal
don't really
Crossing,
have to think
yeah.
about it. No, but Hellblade, the story, you know, everything behind it, I really like it. So I think I'll stick with it, hopefully.
Yeah, she's been watching videos on it as far as like, you know, what to do, and like, here's some tips while you're playing, type of thing.
Walk through tips, things like that.
I didn't know it had a permadeath until I was watching some of these things. In other words,
okay.
Yeah.
No save spot? No, just.
I don't know. So every time you die,
right,
she gets some rot that grows on her.
Okay.
And eventually, and it stays there.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you die enough, that rot consumes her, and then she will die.
Okay.
And that is it. You will have to start from the beginning.
Beginning or the last save point?
I think the beginning
the
of the
beginning,
game.
Because
they call it a permadeath. So there probably are save points.
Mm-hmm.
But if you die enough, and I don't know how many times it is because you can change the difficulty, you will get like a permadeath. Now, again, I've not played it, so I don't know if there are ways that you can reduce the rot, you know, that will, you know, kind of like grant you an extra death or something. I'm not exactly, I don't know.
Get an extension or whatever.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We're talking about Hellblade.
See, the only thing I heard about, the only thing that really stuck out about that game was the issues that the character was going through. That was what made it stand out above all the other titles of that genre. But I didn't know there was a permadeath thing in there. I haven't seen a permadeath in a game in a long time.
Right? Yeah.
So I didn't think people could deal with it. That would be one of those rage-inducing, I can't stand this company for putting this in there.
Which is like crack to you.
I get that with Dark Souls. I mean, you die enough times, you turn into a withered, rotten version of yourself, but you're going to keep coming back. That's the aspect of it, really.
Yeah.
As to the difficulty, you know, don't screw up. Or if you screw up a lot, stop. Because it's going to cost you. I mean, I can't put it any other way. It's simple.
Let's see. This comes from, I don't know what this is, PCGamesN.com. I don't know. Opening of Hellblade, a message pops up. The dark rot will grow each time you fail. If the rot reaches her head, her quest is over and all progress will be lost. And then it says it's easy to understand why so many players interpreted this to mean that dying too many times would cause permanently killed. All saves to be blah, blah, blah. The wording for the permadeath message was chosen quite carefully because we didn't want to lie to the player, says Ninja Theory. It's actually our interpretation of the message that is what threw people off. Hellblade doesn't, in fact, have a permadeath system. Yes, the Dark Rot will gradually creep up her arm, but it can never reach her head, no matter how often you fail in combat. So why did they include this message? A large part of the game is about fear, and a large part of mental illness, psychosis in particular, is about fear. I was speaking to one fellow who described it as a fear of death. This was one person. I don't want to generalize to everyone, but in this particular case, during psychosis episodes, there was a palpable fear that he was going to die. So that's what we wanted to try to find an analog for in the game. But how do you introduce such an intense personal fear in a video game without misrepresenting it? Obviously, you can't replicate those kinds of experiences, but you can suggest analogs that at least give you the conceit. We were looking for ideas of how to introduce fear, and one had those. So let's see. It generated a multitude of reactions, anger from those. Despite knowledge of the permadeath bluff being out there, he believes that the wording remains important. It's not as simple as people think. There's truth to the message, but it's your interpretation as a player that taints the meaning behind it. That's something we wanted to do on purpose, because with mental illness, it's your frame of mind that interprets the world, and that can cause you distress.
I prefer permadeath. Keep it simple. Die too much, and you're going to have to start over.
Now, when was this published? Let me see when this was. Oh, good. There's no date on when this was published. That's nice. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. This was published May 17th of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they patched it to put in permadeath or
no.
If it's, you know, if enough people complain and say, sure, okay, fine, we'll make it permadeath. But I don't think so. Just the thing that we watched said that stuff was like, if you die too many times, you'll die. And I don't know why they would put out a video that mentions that if it's already been debunked that you won't.
Mm.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen things in some games where it puts you in a situation where, you know, it's stressed to the point where, yeah, you're going to have a clutch performance in this one. You know, don't play at your best level because the consequences are dire if you don't. And I can see, I've seen things like that before, which was implemented more, actually. But permadeath sounds to me like, yeah, that would be definitely something that would make you pick the game up.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't have the option, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Thor in the chat room said it doesn't happen on normal anyway. You get rot, but not perma. On normal difficulty, so maybe it's a difficulty setting.
Possibly. From what this says, it just means that they put that in there, but it's not something that you, I guess, would ever have to worry about. That's interesting, though. I was surprised at that. I'm okay with it, you know. I'm of the case that more options, the better.
Yeah.
So if you want to turn that on, sure. If you want to keep it turned off, that's also fine.
Yeah.
Like to have that option in there. So yeah, did you play anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay.
But you having a good time with it so far?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I may need to take the cellophane off that thing.
She got to it before I did, man. Yeah. And I got it through Game Pass on the system, and then I got it on a sale at some point on PC.
Inadvertent double dip.
And still have the thing on Xbox is because they bought Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
So it's part of Game Pass, which means, yeah, I didn't double. Well, I had already bought it on PC before I had the Game Pass thing.
Mm-hmm. But you got multiple incarnations of it, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I've got the PC thing that I paid for, and then the one on Xbox is just through the Game Pass thing, which I still pay for that, but understand that it wasn't a part of that at the time that I bought it on PC.
Yeah.
And I figured when I played that game, I would play it on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, with my graphic card catching on fire and then everything else that's happened, I look more towards... But right now, my Xbox, my Series X and my PlayStation 5 look better than my PC for a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily with Destiny, because Destiny can hold up with an outdated card because it's an old game.
Yeah.
But if I was going to play something like Cyberpunk or something like Hellblade... Any kind of game that's been made in the past 2 years at least, maybe more than that, is going to look better on the Series X and the PS5, given that I'm you know, on an older card because I can't get a card. They don't have any.
2017.
Yeah, it was 2017 on Hellblade.
August,
yeah.
August 2017 is when it was released, yeah. And I know where the game is. I know exactly where it is on my shelf. I just haven't had an inclination to get it out of there until we talked about it. The permadeath thing is really interested me on that. So, yeah. I'll get to it eventually.
Which, you know,
along with the other 100+ games sitting on the shelf right now, but, yeah, you know, still.
Before we we're going to go to a break here. Before we do that and before we jump into our E3 talk, since we're talking about Hellblade, one of the things we did not see at E3 at all was more about the sequel to Hellblade. We saw nothing. I think they did release a video. They did. Yeah, they did release a video saying that we're still working on it. They had somebody talking. I think they may have shown a little bit of the game, maybe. But this was outside of the E3 umbrella. It came, you know, it came sometime this week. They released the video, but it wasn't part of any kind of presentation or anything. So, but yeah, no show of that. Which we have a list of no shows. We have, I mean, there's just...
Oh, there was, you know, one company in particular got roasted. I remember looking at the news feeds and things about that.
Well, there was no Splinter Cell. It was that. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have more of In-Game Chat on the way. Don't forget to give us a call if you want to get your comments in or questions, 334-272-9228, or hit us up on our Discord as well. You can join us over there. We're going to go into a break here with a game called, I had to pull, basically, there was no game. Nobody releases games during E3. They release tons of demos, but nobody really releases games during the week of E3. With some exceptions, because I remember the first Last of Us got released on the Friday after E3. Mm-hmm. Like, they showed a video at the E3 thing, and then 5 days later, boom, game hits on Friday. 4 days later, whatever. I remember that because I wasn't going to be able to play it until I got home, and I wasn't getting home until Saturday, I think, for that one. I think I stayed a whole... Yeah, I did stay a whole week in LA on that one. I extended my stay because I think that was the week I got to go watch them do some Uncharted 3 filming over at Culver City Studios, which was interesting to be on a movie lot.
Yeah.
It was my first time ever being on a production area type thing. With sound stages.
See where the magic happens.
Yeah, and golf carts going everywhere. And then I went to go have lunch, and I went to the commissary. And
commissary, yeah.
Yeah. There was all that stuff. So, yeah, that was interesting. That was fun. And I had to stay extra. I stayed at the, I can't remember the name of the hotel. I always mention it, though, because I think it's the Culver City Hotel or something is what it's called. I'm not sure. But the only reason I remember is because it was very old. And the room was very small, especially the bathroom was really, really tiny. But it was the hotel that the actors who were playing the Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz stayed at. Yeah, that's where they stayed during the filming of Wizard of Oz. And I saw, and that has nothing to do with the size of the rooms. It wasn't built specifically for them. It was just, it was built... You know,
it's a very old
way
hotel.
Back. Yeah,
you're reminding me of a Joe Rogan skit when he was talking about this a hotel fire, and the size of the hotel was an issue, especially the stairwell.
Yeah,
because a single line of people. He mentioned a whole bunch of people on Ambien trying to go down the steps, and people were not moving fast enough, and this stairwell wasn't very helpful at all. So yeah, that reminds me of that. So it stands to reason. Yeah,
they don't. A lot of places when they're older places, they don't really like to modernize them in a sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least construction-wise. Sure, they'll put in...
Yeah, it could be a cost issue. It could be something someone wants to be the historical value of this place.
Yeah,
along those lines. They don't want to change anything.
They'll put in a flat-screen TV and stuff like that, but it's just that, you know, if the rooms are small, they're going to enlarge the rooms type of thing. And some hotels will, but not something that goes that far back. They won't do it. And this is completely off topic. My visit to London, all the pub. When I went over to Oxford, we went into some pubs over there, and there you have to duck down to go in through some of the doors because they were small.
Yeah.
Now, once you got in, you didn't have to kind of keep leaning over, but the doorway, you had to duck down to go in. For whatever reason, the doorways were real tiny. Of course, these are pubs that are really, really old. Anyway, on with the show.
On with the break, actually.
Yeah, so, these tracks all come from a humble bundle of last month, and then some from this month. It's my best source to go to when I'm trying to find music for games we probably haven't used before. This is from a game called Levelhead, and I guess it's the main theme for that. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is not bad. I only heard a little bit of the beginning of it. I didn't get into the mid part of it. This isn't bad at all. I kind of like this. This is from a game called Relicta? It's like relic and then a TA on the end of it.
Sound like a medicine.
Maybe, yeah. That does sound like a medicine. You want to move your mic? There you go. And
ask your doctor about Relicta.
Relicta. Yeah.
Yeah.
What old song would they use to turn that into a thing?
What?
I don't know. You know how drug companies always use old songs to introduce the drug or whatever?
Oh, like something from the 70s?
Yeah. And then but they change the lyrics to do the thing. I don't know what Relicta could be. But anyway, that was Relicta, and there was a title to that, and I've already forgotten what it was. Sabotage. That was the name of it. Mm. Sabotage. All right. Oh, okay. Nab says he got the Twitch stream up on Roku, which means we're up on his big screen TV.
They got us on the big screen?
Well, Nab does. Yeah. You can do that, because, I mean, we have Twitch.
I did last week.
Yeah,
weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It was just the quality was so horrible.
Well,
because,
it was awful. You were there.
I was looking something up during the break. Hey, we have a phone call. Let's talk to Chris real quick before we jump into our E3 discussion. There he is. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, about to talk some E3. What's going on with you?
Oh, enjoying this nice rainy weather we were having right before the storm.
Yeah, isn't it nice? Just Please. Nothing but rain. I was going to check on how much rain I've had at the house.
You didn't lose anything, did you, Chris?
No. This power went out a couple of times, but other than that, it's just a little wind and rain, and that's it, luckily, and I hope that's all we ever get from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, we heard the news report. What was it, Brundage, you said?
I think it was, Brundage?
I think it was so. Brundage.
Bruton.
I'll say Bruton. Okay, my apologies.
Bruton.
That had the touchdown hit there. Yeah.
And I just checked my weather station, who Rich Thomas gave me for my birthday, not last year, year before last. Actually, was it year before last, or was it? It wasn't 2019. He gave it to me in 2018, and then I finally got it put up in 2019. And I have had 2.25 inches of rain at the house.
Mm.
He has only had 1.55 inches of rain. So yeah, and we're only like 20 minutes apart, 20-25 minutes apart as far as distance and stuff. So I'm a little bit further up north. Anyway, Thar says the connection is great now. Sound and video, you guys got everything back up. No. everything is not back up. We're just lucky today for some reason.
It is nowhere near where it used to be.
Yeah, right now, I'll tell you what we're getting right now, and here's the whole situation. I'm sorry, Chris. I know you didn't call in for this. For whatever reason, our internet plan here at the station got knocked down. I mean, we were great. I've talked about how fast my YouTube videos would upload. 20 minutes for a two-hour video, done.
Yep.
Which was amazing compared to what it would take at the house. But for some reason, our internet plan got knocked way back. Right now, we have 8 down and about 6 or 7 up, which is going to work for us as long as that holds. Yeah, we dropped a frame or two, it looks like, 0.2%. But as long as that holds, we're on. Apparently, we've got something that's been approved and has already been, you know, agreed upon and everything else for a 50 down, 50 up type thing. But that has not been turned on or made of use yet. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to get there. Outside of the rain stuff, what have you been playing, Chris? What's been going on?
Been playing more of a Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Right.
But since you were talking about the new Phantasy Star RJ,
mm-hmm.
I've seen stuff of the old one on Phantasy Star Online 2 that came when, you know, when it came out, you know, when Microsoft brought it out. And is this worthwhile? Because I used to play the old one, the first one on the Dreamcast years ago, and I know you're quite a big fan like I am. Over a year or two down the road, if they don't ever come over to the other systems in America like they did in Japan, is it worthwhile getting another, a net spots or something just to play this, in your opinion?
Just the number 2?
Yeah, to play the new one that came out.
For this game, it would be good if you had a whole bunch of people to play with, because playing it solo is a real grind. You want to play with folks on this game, and that's what I've been endeavoring to do with some friends of mine, getting together with folks and playing this online, because you try to do it solo, it might wear off pretty quick. But if you can get a guaranteed group of folks to play with you on this game, yeah, you can have that. It's a pretty good time if you do it that way.
Well, I mean, I did solo years ago by myself on the old one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty patient as you would say. But overall, the gameplay and everything, it is excellent, really fun, huh?
Yeah, the gameplay is fine. The mechanics are fine. Some things you got to get used to with New Genesis. They put a lot of new moves in there that you have to get with, and then some things on specific bearing on which type of weapon you want to use. So it's just taking the first few days of tweaking things, seeing what type of weapon you like, what play style you like, things of that nature. Get that tweaked down. When you get it narrowed down to what you want to do, the gameplay is pretty fine after that point. But like I said, it's much better with people, much better with friends than solo. I mean, it's okay solo, but slow
grinders if you're by yourself. Huh?
Yeah, very slow grind. Very slow grind if you're by yourself. But
hey, I'm used to that. You know, all these other old ones that I've played back in the day. I'm very patient, especially with the first one. I even with the one on GameCube, I did solo on it all the time, and I got a force character up to like a 150, level 150 or 160.
Uh-oh, we lost him.
Chris?
Yep, we lost him.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you mentioned there was rain or something like that, so I don't know what happened over there, but we totally lost him.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was. So he may call back, but while we either wait for that to happen or just, you know, we'll just move on from there, let's talk about E3. Let's talk about, I don't know if you want to go with Microsoft first. We might as well. We'll go with Microsoft first. I wanted to talk about why. So last week on the show, we'd only seen Ubisoft and we'd seen Devolver. Now Devolver they kind of stand on their own. So let's just put them out to the side. They did fine. Everybody likes Devolver. Good.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, we already kind of gave our critiques. But one of the things that we talked about, both with Ubisoft, both with previous E3s and everything else, was that we got tired of just stop talking. Show more game, show less people.
Yeah.
Show more game, less talky. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's just a, you know, video of a person talking about the game. No, have them talk about the game, but show us the game while they're talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's going to be the case, work with that. Do that. That makes it better. Microsoft, and I meant to tweet this while we were watching it, but after a good like 30, 45 minutes of Microsoft, I realized the people coming out on stage is few and far between. And if they are, it's just there to, like, introduce the next segment of long line of games we're going to be seeing. You know, what they made their shift between this and that sort of thing. But the people were there to kind of make the transition into what they were going to go into next. Mm-hmm. And they didn't take long to do that. They came out probably, what, 30 or 45 seconds, maybe 60 seconds. And then it was boom, back into gameplay or footage or whatever. Sometimes gameplay, sometimes whatever. It was still more games. And so, yeah, while I was watching it, I was insanely impressed. It's like, this is exactly it. You know, it's got the minimum amount of somebody saying anything, and it's just showing game after game after game after game. A game would come up on the screen, and it would play its little thing and then give you a release date and a thing, and then it would move on to the next game. Nobody in between to say what you just saw was this, and it's going to be released there, and boy, I can't wait to play it, and blah, you know, all that stupid stuff. Mm. No, none of it was there. It was just game after game after game. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. Yeah, I know. Keeley had Summerfest, which was also a lot of talky-talky and not enough showy-showy. Which is redeemed, I guess, by the fact that he showed Elden Ring at the end, where basically everybody was... If you can show something like Elden Ring, which is on the list of a lot of people to see more of, see any of, because I don't think we'd seen anything of it. There were leaks here and there, but we hadn't seen anything. So yeah, if you can end your press conference with Elden Ring, you're almost at a point where it doesn't matter what came before. It doesn't matter what we suffered through. We had Elden Ring at the end. But even as I say that, there is... I said you have to suffer through just to watch that little bit. You don't actually have to, because these things hit YouTube so fast. After they're done, the PR is ready to go live with the video so that you can only watch what you want to watch. Mm-hmm. So Summerfest didn't do it well. Keeley didn't do it well. Ubisoft did not do it well. Nintendo did not do it well. They had some good games to show off, and that was great. But as far as like presentation type of thing, still too much talking. Not enough showing. Although, I don't want to necessarily give Nintendo any kind of a credit. It seems different with Nintendo. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they did their presentation just like they've done all of their Nintendo Directs. Like, there was no difference between that Direct and a bunch of other Directs where somebody's there to intro the next segment of games, but for the most part, it's fast, you know, game. Every now and again, they would pull in a developer to talk about what they're working on. Like, they talked about Zelda, or they talked about, what was the other one? There was another game. Was it Smash, maybe?
Smash was getting talked about a lot because of...
They introduced the new character.
Kazuya Mishima in there, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was something that got some developer talk and that sort of thing. Anyway, it didn't come off the way that other press conferences come off when they've got all the chitter chat and all that stuff going back and forth between whatever. Just show us the games. That's all we've talked about. And Xbox and Bethesda did exactly that. I was very impressed. I was very surprised. I was very impressed. As it kept going on, that's kind of when my brain clicked and I was like, wait, I haven't seen anybody talk at all. This is fantastic. This is exactly what I need. And it just kept going. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice to see. And so I'm glad they did that. And I spent far too long talking about just that one thing instead of talking about Microsoft at E3. I'm gonna shift a little bit here because we only have about 6 minutes or so before we got to take the break here. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go back to Chris. Was Chris call back? Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris, you there?
Yep, power flash with the cordless phone.
Yeah, that's what we heard the thing cut off, and so, yeah, we weren't sure, but yeah. I don't know where you were on that conversation or what you were talking about, what you'd been playing.
Well, RJ, is that the new Phantasy Star, is it free, or do you have to have like the Game Pass thing to play it on the system?
It was free for me. Just got it off of
this is one of those
Steam.
Online free ones. If you have
free.
The system, it's free.
Yeah, it was online free.
I may have to I may have to pick up one of the systems like that, maybe the S, the new S or something, just to play it. But
yep. But I'm playing on PC though, so I'm not playing on a console. I'm playing on PC, and it was free on off of Steam or Microsoft. Yeah, that's how I'm playing it.
Oh, yeah, I might have to look into that or change my region setting on one of my systems and play it on the Japanese, especially if I can find out that the Japanese version, if you can play in English and it has it built into it, I doubt it's going to do.
No, yeah, I'm using the PSO download. I've been playing that one with that. But, it was free to play. And the money comes from the premium content comes from the AC, which is current in-game currency that you pick up. Things like that. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I may have to check into that either way and then see which way I can go about playing it. But if I've been wanting to get into that, you know, the second one online for a long time, and then I release this new one. So maybe it might be the time to jump back in sometime, even if I'm playing by myself. So
when you start, I mean, it's going to put you at level one. So regardless what experience you have with the default PSO2, but, you know, jumping on point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It is a good jumping on point right now, playing story mode through there.
But yeah, the other one I'm looking forward to is the new Metroid, 2D Metroid they announced, which made up for a little bit for not hearing about Metroid Prime 4, but, you know, at least I'll be looking forward to that and a few other ones that are coming out around the end of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be hitting up on those. And yeah, Metroid Dread was a great little reveal type of thing. It was nice. Yeah, we didn't have a Metroid Prime 4, but we got Metroid Dread and 2D side-scrolling Metroid that, you know, harkens back to, I think that was a game they worked on way back in the Game Boy days that they were going to be working on. Maybe not Game Boy Advance, maybe? I can't remember. It goes back a ways. The development of, and it may not have been called Metroid Dread at the time, but the development of that 2D side-scrolling Metroid has been in the works for a while, probably gone through massive, redos and that sort of thing, so. But yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up. You should look up the history of Metroid Dread, and you'll find that it was something in development for a good while.
Oh, heck, I saw an article here that says, why it took Nintendo 15 years to make Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
That was one.
Yeah.
I might have to look at that one. Y'all are going through the break, but yeah, y'all have a good day, and we'll see y'all later then.
All right, man, take care.
Take care now.
Let's see, Metroid Dread. Oh, it was conceived as a Nintendo DS game in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was GBA, that was wrong. It was canceled due to technical limitations. So, yeah. October the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I already put in the pre-order for the special edition because it comes with a steel.
I heard that.
Yeah. I'm putting in a little pre-order. Well, it didn't come out until October, so I can cancel that if I need to. But it's right there. It was a little steelbook. Yeah. I was going to switch gears and go into talking about Square, but because there was very little at Square to talk about. But we are already here at the top of the hour, so. Duke wants to know, was there ever a serious discussion of Resident Evil Village on the show? Because I 100%ed it and would love to talk about it. I mean, if you want to talk about it, you can. We have not discussed it. Because I have not played it. RJ, you haven't played it, right?
Got it.
You have it, but you haven't played it.
Haven't played it. Still sitting in the cellophane.
Oh, man.
I know.
I feel like Matt has played it. And if Matt is listening, which he may be, feel free to call in. You and Duke can have a conversation. Because Duke will be on Discord. You would be on the phone. Or get on Discord, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
and have a conversation there. See, Matt and Nate and James and everybody who can't show up here can just pop in the Discord and we could have our conversation there. So I'm gonna see if I can get the band back together. That's what I would say. We're gonna take a break here. We have got music from a game called Disjunction. What's your function? I don't know what the I think it's the main theme for this game. I don't exactly know what it is. It was in the Humble stuff from either last month or this month, so there. Anyway, when we come back, we'll continue our E3 discussion and maybe a bit of Resident Evil Village talk in there, too. We'll see. It's all ahead here on In-Game Chat. We will be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This music does not fit the thumbnail image on Humble Bundle that showed it off. It looked like a bunch of Roblox characters. It's a game called Family Man, and it's the main menu music. But it's a strange... Yeah, it just doesn't feel like it fits the play or the visuals, I suppose. This sounds real serious. This sounds really somber, whatever. And that
sounds like bad gonna happen.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure. Okay, Family Man game.
Wait.
It's an RPG. Family Man is a dark, story-led...
Yeah. A dark story-led RPG that asks the question, when pushed to the limits of your own morality, how far would you go for the sake of your family?
But look at the visuals on... Like, here... Well, here. I'll just unplug it. These are the visuals for this.
It's like a slightly updated Minecraft.
Yeah. Well, you see all this stuff here.
Yeah, you got... The images I'm looking at, first-person view, dude's carrying a shotgun at somebody.
I mean,
it's like, The gist of it really, the last sentence I see here is, you owe money to the mob and you've got 3 weeks to pay it back. Like I said, sounds like something bad's going to happen, so yeah, if you don't.
Well, you can get it on Humble, or at least, I don't know if this was last month or if this was this month, I'm not sure, but that's, I have it now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just strange.
You got it, see? You have it, but
yeah,
I haven't played it yet.
Well, let's see. Let's open up Discord, why don't we? Mm-hmm. Now, I know Duke's going to talk about Resident Evil, but before we get to the Resident Evil, and I guess he's there. Duke, are you there?
I am.
Oh, man. Does that not sound fantastic?
Like you're right in the room.
It's like
man.
He's in the studio.
Like you're right in the room with us. Yeah.
It's so good.
I mean, I do have a studio mic, so that's probably why.
Yeah, it's probably, exactly. So anyway, I wanted to move. We're going to get to your Resident Evil talk here. If you got time, unless you have to go. Do you have time or?
Yeah, this is, we're having Father's Day dinner. I'm a little tipsy. I've been drinking some wine. And the grandparents are over. They got the kids. So I said, I want to listen to my favorite radio show. I don't ever get the chance. To you guys, because this is the...
I'm laughing because he totally didn't say that. But...
So, and then I have one thing to talk about. I did catch E3, too. So, do you have a question first?
No, well, we didn't really finish our talk here of E3 because I started getting into Microsoft and then we had to go or we talked to Chris and that sort of thing. So we really didn't get into Microsoft or Square or PC or Nintendo or anything like that. But, Resident Evil Village has been out for a while now. None of us has played it. And if you want to talk about it and can keep it somewhat spoiler-free, because I know RJ has it, he just hasn't played it yet, then feel free, man. Floor is yours.
Yeah, I was hoping Matt would jump on just because I know I watched him on Steam.
He's been playing it on Steam, yeah.
Yeah, so I did too. And, it's a weird thing to talk about because I'm such a huge Resident Evil fan just from the franchise. I feel like this is a huge step back from a franchise point of view. Mm. And that would have been a great thing to talk to Matt about because I know he's played a bunch of the other ones too. And I don't know, have you guys played any of them like over the years?
I have never been a Resident Evil guy. We talked about this, the one that I played, and I played it co-op with James, was I think 5.
You played 5, yeah.
Yeah.
And I played the original up to 6. Resident Evil.
And I can see why you'd stop there, because 6 is the absolute worst.
I was told after the fact how bad 6 was received from the player base. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can play through with a friend on co-op, and that's how I suffered. I mean, I bought it on PS3, I think, and I basically stopped playing it, 20 minutes in. I'm like, I don't know what this is doing. But then I revisited it years later just because there was a co-op element, and one of my other friends hadn't played it, so we walked through it. And the story and the segments and the action, and just it was just all over the place. So,
mm-hmm.
But... they kind of had like a resurgence. So like they realized they needed to go, set themselves in the right direction. They did the Resident Evil 2 remake, which I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
7 was again, like another drastic leap, from tonally and just gameplay mechanics. But that gave you kind of some confidence. The Resident Evil 3 remake. Again, it was a little bit of a cash grab. I think they were a little bit slow and be like, I think they were a little bit shocked just how well Resident Evil 2 remake did. And they said, oh my God, we got to do Resident Evil 3. We got to do it. And they just like threw it out there.
Yeah. Because it felt because 2, I'm sorry to cut you off me, but 2, the remake for 2 was really, really good to me. And I enjoy replaying that over and over again. But for some reason, 3, is like you said, it must have been a rush job because 3 just didn't pull me like 2 did. I mean, I'm familiar with the story in 3 and everything, and it was interesting to get into, but I was like looking at, gameplay of people playing, and it was just like, for some reason, it just wasn't pulling me. And it wasn't it a lot shorter than 2 was?
Wicked short.
Yeah.
It was wicked short, and they left complete segments out, like from the original game. Like that's kind of what the indication is, where they were just like, oh, let's just do this and throw it out there and see what it does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been reports that they've listened to that feedback, and then the next remake, whatever they do, they're going to make sure they do it right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's like Code Veronica or some kind of surprise. Yeah,
because 4 looks good. I mean, 4, I think 4 still holds up.
Oh, it's funny you say that, because I just started playing it again.
Yeah.
Boy, on PC, it's very dated.
Yeah.
Not just from a looks. Like, I don't care about the looks aspect of it. I care from a gameplay aspect. Mm-hmm. And you can't even aim and walk, right? Because that was not a function of that game's gameplay. You had to run to a certain corner and then turn around and aim. Like, there's mm-hmm. no movement while you're aiming. And there's some other like broken elements too, just from the aiming aspect, like with the mm-hmm. laser pointer and stuff like that. But I'm chugging through it just because it's been, I don't know, 10 years since I played it, and I want to kind of see, you know, how that 4.
Yeah, 4 was the one I want. Out of all the older versions, you mm-hmm. know, 4 is the one that I always wanted to go back to,
mm-hmm.
Because I know that was I don't even know if it was a tonal shift, but there was a shift in playstyle.
Over the shoulder view.
It was the older over the shoulder thing?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. It went from tank controls and like fixed camera angles to a dynamic over the shoulder view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
it would have been fine. It would have been fine if they just gave you the ability to walk and aim. And then I think you can't even reload either unless you're aiming. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that was also story-wise. Well, I say story-wise. I don't know the full story, but I know just from glimpses of the trailer and everything else, that was also a shift away from, like, the standard zombie-type stuff, right? And it went into the
Las Plagas.
Yeah, it went into, like, a disease. Parasite. They were crazy or something. Yeah, exactly.
Injected parasite,
Right, and they had, like, a one controlling cult leader kind of controlling this, this fungus that's infecting the town. So it's cool. Like, don't get me wrong, I like that part of it. The gameplay, though, boy, if you go back to it, it's tough to get through, especially if you played the modern games.
I can hear him censoring mm-hmm. himself. It's really, you're doing a really good job, Duke.
Thank you.
I can hear where it's like, he's not okay. He didn't. That's good.
But Village, man, I want to. So I actually like Village from just the game. Like, I like it. I just wish it. I hate it as a Resident Evil game, because there's so much that, and this will sound contradicting, because you play Resident Evil 4, it's like, oh, that was an action oriented game. Village is an action oriented game. There's very little survival horror, right? You get rewarded for killing enemies. You get item drops. You get money, and then you buy it from the vendor, just like Resident Evil 4. And there's really like no decisions to be made about like what items to carry, because you have like infinite space. Like, you have your regular inventory, and then you have like your reward inventory, and then you have your special item inventory, which is like your keys and your medallions and all that stuff. So there's no like, if you're at like a certain point in the game, there's no decision like, oh, do I pick this up now or do I come back to it later? And most places you can't even return to after you visit it. So it's not like you can just run back into the castle to get things. It's like, once you're done with the castle, you're done. And it's really the step back portion of it. It's like, okay, you want to make a game like Resident Evil 4, that's fine. But you left out like some of the key things that made Resident Evil 4 great. And I'm not talking about the quick time events. I'm talking about like the hand-to-hand combat melee stuff, which was like, you could shoot an enemy once, and like when they're dazed, run up to them and karate kick them in the face.
Yep.
And then they'd eventually die and stuff like that. But I'm not saying that that needed to be in Village, but there needed to be some kind of maybe melee aspect that that wasn't just, you know, bullet sponging enemies to death. Because the more difficulty, the higher difficulty is like you, it takes a lot of bullets to kill just the most generic enemies.
That's if you, that's even with you hitting the weak spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I played through it on, actually, I played through it on all four difficulties. So I did, I started with normal. You know, it took me about, I think, 10 hours to get through the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did New Game Plus hardcore, which was probably the hardest mode because you don't have many of the unlocks to unlock, you know, infinite weapons or any of the other special items like after the game. So you're right. still going through the game almost bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I had like, I don't know, infinite ammo on like the handgun, but that's not really going to do much because the amount of enemies on screen just will overwhelm you that you can't just, hit up a single enemy with the infinite handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get through it on hardcore, then Village of Shadows, the hardest difficulty, is like the easiest because you have everything. You just have infinite rocket launcher, infinite, you know, machine gun, you know, it just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Duke, Matt is here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Matt. There I saw is. You playing that game.
Matt? How's it going?
Hey, Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Duke wanted to talk some Resident Evil, and I know you've been playing that, but he really, really wanted you to be here to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm in Birmingham right now.
Yeah, which is about, for those who don't know, that's about an hour and a half or so away from us.
Depending on how you drive.
Yeah. So I guess he's using his phone to talk to us right now.
I am.
Yeah, so you guys have the conversation because I can't add to it. I haven't played it. RJ owns it but hasn't played it.
Yeah.
It's just between you two, really.
Roger.
Yeah, I've seen enough.
Matt, did you hear any of my initial thoughts about the game and it's, you know, and it's with respect to the rest of the franchise?
All I heard was about when you beat it with Village of the Shadows, you have everything.
Okay.
Like, yeah. So, no.
All right, well, let me ask you this then. What is your initial thoughts of the game overall?
Without getting too spoilery, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's a continuation of the feel and the theme and of 7. And I enjoyed 7. Parts of it, you know, kind of, I guess, maybe retconned, maybe like some of the things in 7, like when you get your hand cut off from the beginning. And because, well, not spoiler 7, but it's how old. But yeah, I'm like, oh, that makes sense now why you were able to just use peroxide and put your hand back on, you know, other than just magic liquid, you know, so to speak. But yeah, the ending when it kind of explained all that, I'm like, oh, okay. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little hand carnage in the game.
Yeah, I like how Umbrella sort of like got it, the corporation sort of, you know, got its theme and look from this old village in the middle of Romania.
What? I'm really happy you said that because I took that a different way. I took that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took that as that. That makes complete sense. Now that you're saying it like that, because that village, the village in Resident Evil Village has been there for hundreds of years.
Yeah, and Spencer actually went there because, like, they mentioned Spencer in like one of the notes and everything. And this was actually the first Resident Evil game where I actually read all the notes and I saw the achievement pop up. I'm like, oh, wow, I actually read everything. Huh.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, that village has been there longer than the progenitor virus that they found in Africa and where Umbrella, you know, sort of stole its logo and look from that village and their crazy, you know, lichen clan or cult or whatever.
Yeah, I took that as Umbrella showed up to the village and like put their put their logo in the village as like a statement, which is not. Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense. No, but your explanation, and then of course I didn't link the Spencer document to that. That makes complete sense now, and I'm really happy you said that, because now I feel a little bit better about the story. But boy, I just wish the game was more I wish they put more thought into just the puzzles, because they were all puzzles.
There were puzzles in that game?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were things that you just looked at once and said, "Oh, this is what we're doing."
Yeah.
There was no thought whatsoever. There was no like backtracking to like a document or something, or some kind of clue that pointed you. It was just, here's the thing, you can solve it right now, which will progress you forward from where you are.
Yeah.
Did that start in 7, or was that where puzzles like dumbed down earlier on in the series? Because I remember some really difficult puzzles having to go through the early parts of Resident Evil, but it's been, it was kind of like with gaming in general, puzzles making you think a lot. It's been, things have been dumbed down in general, but where exactly did you see it happening in the Resident Evil series?
So, four did it. Four was a very linear,
became more action. You know, more of an over the shoulder action thing than, you know, tank controlled, stand in place, shoot. You know, you can't move and I think four is where it started. Five was, you see it leaning more towards action base.
I couldn't remember.
Six was just a hot mess.
I couldn't remember anything in five but action.
Actually. Yeah, no. There were no puzzles. You know what it was in five? It was like your co-op partner goes over on the left side and I go on the right side, and we both pull a lever at the same time that opens like a door.
Right.
That's like what the extent of the puzzles were in five.
That was the extent of the puzzles in five.
So, early on in Village, in the first sort of castle area, because it's literally a castle, there's a piano puzzle that is not a puzzle at all. I'm used to piano puzzles being like Silent Hill, where I'm like, I don't know how to play the piano. I am never going to get past this. This was just, you hit random, random buttons until you get the right one, and it progresses to the next note, and there's no way to fail unless you, back out, hit the cancel button. I'm like, there weren't puzzles in this game.
It's a perfect example of the thoughtless, what Capcom did there with the progression. Yeah. I mean, it was just straightforward the entire way. And I think that, and 7 was not like that. Like 7, there was a lot of searching in different areas. And that's why I was surprised that it was a step backwards, especially since the Resident Evil 2 remake, again, it wasn't a take on a previous game, but the puzzles were, modified so that they actually kind of made sense, and they were different from the original game. So and in Resident Evil 2, you went all over the police station. There was no first one way to go, ever. And that's why I just, when I played Village, I was like, and then there were periods of the game in Village where you think it's opening up. You're like, oh my God, this is it. Finally. Like maybe the first hour, it was just getting me into the story and getting me familiar with my environment. Like once you're in the castle, but literally there's only one path through the entire castle, that will unlock the next door. Right. And then there's same deal when you go back out to the main village, you're like, okay, now it's finally opening up again. It's like, nope. It's one way.
The castle, there's a slight sort of a backtrack when you finally get one of the keys and have to go back down into the dungeon level if you just want to clear everything and get the last bit of treasure. But that's totally optional. You don't have to at all. And, even that, the quote unquote puzzle in that is throw us, some explosive at a wall and, shoot a lamp until it catches fire, kind of a thing.
All right, well, I'm glad we're on the same page there, because the game's getting rave reviews from players, and I'm just like, oh, I hope they don't take this and Resident Evil 8 becomes Resident Evil 9 becomes the same thing.
It did say, this is kind of like the end of Ethan's story.
Well, I thought there was a trilogy planned in this whole. Like 7, 8, and 9 were going to be,
really?
I don't necessarily know it was going to involve him, but 7, 8, and 9 would be very similar as far as gameplay style, that sort of thing.
First person kind of a thing?
I don't know. It seems to, obviously this second one, 8 and 7 are very similar in that regard. And I'm thinking 9 is going to be the same way if that's what they're doing with these three. Of course, if these are successful and everything points to that they are, they'll probably keep this formula going, I would imagine.
Yeah, did you guys see like all the speculation about that? Because no, I think you're right, Scott. I think they are planning a trilogy. There's going to be a 9 that's going to follow. I don't know if I should say spoilers or not, but maybe I shouldn't.
It might follow on with maybe how it ended.
Right. That's a good way to say it, Matt. Because, and I'll say this
I could get that. You know, with the post credit and everything. There is a post credit scene.
All right. RJ still has the game, but he has not played it. So just keep that in mind.
Right.
Yeah. There is a post credit scene, and with any like sort of scene that is rendered in a game engine, people find a way to like sort of, I don't want to say break it, but look past the walls and the barriers. So if there is something off in the distance, they will find a way to get the camera over there.
That's exactly where I was going.
What is over there? And I did, after finish the video, I mean, after finishing the game, I did watch that video. You know, I did watch a video on that, and like, oh, okay. Interesting.
The developers just kind of, you know, playing to the fans there, like they knew that that would happen.
I don't know. You know, I could see it going one of, I guess, a couple of ways. But I mean, all in all, I enjoyed it. As with, you know, 7 for me, the very first run through, and really, I guess, any Resident Evil game, the first run through is the most terrifying. It is the scariest. You don't know what's coming around the corner. You're always kind of like on edge. But once you played a horror game, it loses the horror because I know, okay, around this corner, this is going to happen. I know this, you know, beat over here. I know this attack over there. And now it's more about like, I'm not scared. I'm just going to like, how do I overpower myself so I could just be, you know, a walking death machine and, you know, collect money and guns. I was entertained throughout the whole playthrough. It did feel a little short, I think, to me. Very linear, even though like you keep on going back to that central hub of the village. But I enjoyed it. I mean, maybe I'm just easily entertained. You know, I got my money's worth. I replayed it again. I'll probably, once I unlock a few more unlimited weapon, you know, unlimited ammo weapons, I'll try it on the Village of the Shadows difficulty and see if I can't get, like, you know, the, you know, rocket pistol and, you know. But yeah,
did you get the lightsaber?
No, I tried the mercenaries and I could never get like the good rate, you know, rating.
That's some of that's been good.
Disappointing. I'll say that the lightsaber you expect, you know. It doesn't matter what difficulty you play on. You expect to just to chop through limbs regardless.
And it's just a glowing knife.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, guys, we're here at the bottom of the hour here. We got to take our break. But I mean, we're going to continue. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our E3 talk. So Matt, I don't know what you're doing, but if you got time, you want to hang around and talk more E3 stuff. If you saw any of the Easter up, you're more than welcome to. Same with Duke there too. I know he's got to go back and celebrate father. By the way, you're a dad now. Happy Father's Day, Duke.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more E3 discussion with probably Matt and Duke here. And we've got music here from a game called Vane, V-A-N-E. It's kind of like Weather Vane. It looks, I don't exactly know what it's about, but that's what it is. This is called Metamorphosis on this track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Lullaby for a Witch.
This has end credits written all over it.
A title screen. It's the actual title screen.
It still has
end
credits.
You got the complete opposite.
No, it sounds like end credits.
I get that.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's the title screen. Lullaby for a Witch. So I have that on PC now because, again, humble bundle. Humble choice. $12, 12 games every month. This month you get Civilization VI Platinum Premium whatever edition, along with 11 other games for $12. All PC or you know, if it's PC or sometimes Epic or sometimes GOG or something like that. Matt, hey, you're back on, by the way, Matt. Just to let you know, you're live on the air now. Oh, the audio is not too great coming from your phone.
Yeah, let's try this. Is it better?
That's much better.
Okay.
Hello. There you are. That sounds great, actually. I don't know what you did, but it sounds good.
I took it off the car audio.
Oh, yeah, that would work. Are you driving?
Not anymore.
Okay, cool. Well, if you need to do it again.
I pulled over.
You need to do it again, just let me know. Did you catch all the E3 stuff, or as much as you could, I suppose?
I saw a little bit of the Metroid Dread and Breath of the Wild, but really that was about it.
Ah, okay. And so you caught the Nintendo thing. You didn't catch Microsoft or Ubisoft, which didn't matter. Did you catch Devolver?
No.
Oh, you should catch Devolver.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch that later because I love their
exactly
their shows.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Microsoft, we'll go through some of these as quick as we can because we only have about 20 more minutes left of the show and we really haven't touched on much of E3. Microsoft, we loved just for the fact that it was games, and very, 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 very little chat. It was just all just back-to-back-to-back games. And we got, what did we get out of that? And I have a whole thing of all the announcements. Starfield comes out November of next year. That's from Bethesda. And
and
it's an Xbox exclusive with the exception of PC.
And PC.
Yeah, it's an Xbox and PC exclusive, and it's coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, people were wondering if it was going to be like a timed exclusive, but it sounds like it's total exclusive.
I think it's totally exclusive. I mean, they own it. Bethesda or Microsoft owns it. So, yeah, I would see that if there was any deals made, Microsoft paid a lot of money to get out of those deals. What else do we get? Stalker 2. Finally got a release date. It comes out April 28th of next year. What is Contraband? A teaser for Contraband, a co-op smuggler's paradise set in the fictional world of 1970s Bayonne or something. Sea of Thieves, getting the Captain Jack thing. Yakuza Like a Dragon was on Xbox Game Pass. Then they showed off Battlefield 2042, which showing off Battlefield 2042 apparently increased the amount of players of Battlefield 4, I think. So much so they had to add servers to deal with that. 12 Minutes comes out August 19th. That's a game I was looking forward to and glad to see that it is. And it's going to be a Game Pass game, so I'll get it day one. Psychonauts 2.
Finally.
Yeah, August 25th on that one. Also that day, there were 10 new Bethesda games that they added to Game Pass. New expansion for Fallout 76. Hades is coming to Xbox August 13th, and I think it'll be part of Game Pass as well. Halo Infinite, they showed off some of Infinite and the multiplayer. In fact, the multiplayer got a complete hour of multiplayer stuff. I didn't know. Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry. Apparently his dog passed away. Joe Biden's
champ?
Yeah. I didn't know that. When did that happen? Yesterday?
Yeah, I think today.
Was it today? I did not know that. Man. Anyway, that just showed up in the news. Plague's Tale Requiem. Is that a sequel or a standalone?
Yes. Well,
which one is it, Matt?
It's not the first one, so I would guess it's a sequel.
But is it a standalone type thing? Is it kind of like Uncharted Lost Legends?
That I'm not sure.
Or whatever that was, Lost Legacy or something like that.
Lost Legacy?
Yeah, because that was kind of an expandalone, not really a sequel, but apparently Thar says this is a sequel.
Okay.
But yeah, it comes out in 2022. Slime Rancher is getting a sequel as well. I never played the first one. When they were showing off Shredders, I was getting a very serious SSX vibe. And I don't mean serious as in, like, that's really the vibe I was getting. I mean, like, it was SSX, but taking itself seriously. So more like Steep, you know?
Yeah.
Or like an actual snowboarding game, but it looked kind of nice. Diablo 2 Resurrected comes out in September. That is the remaster.
Remastered, yeah.
Atomic Heart. We just got a trailer for that. I don't think we got anything more about that. Replaced. That looked great. It's a game coming out in 2022. It is pixel art, and it looks fantastic, but you don't know much more than that. Grounded's getting an update. Among Us getting 15-player lobbies. The Ascent will be day one on Game Pass. Age of Empires 4 comes out October 28th, Game Pass as well. They showed a trailer for Outer Worlds 2, but only with a title. They didn't actually have anything to show you, just Outer Worlds 2.
The title card.
Yeah, that was it. It's a really, if you go back and look at that trailer, by the way, find the Outer Worlds 2 trailer. It was well done. They poked fun at the way trailers are made. And yeah, they had nothing to say, just that we're making this game, and it was really nice. Very sarcastic, extremely. Flight Simulator coming out, what is that, July 27th on the consoles, even though it's already out on PC. God, it looks amazing. God. I mean, that was probably my highlight of that show specifically, only for the fact that it just looked gorgeous. Forza Horizon 5 comes out in November. Of course, they couldn't make a year can't go by without either Forza Motorsport or Forza Horizon. Redfall comes out as well, and Somerville as well. Somerville comes out 2022. What I found out about Somerville was, while I was watching the trailer, I was like, this looks like it's from those guys who did Inside and Limbo, which is Playdead Studios. So it turns out, after Inside released, which was the second of the Playdead Studio games, sometime in between that and now, there were only two people at Playdead, and they either had a disagreement or they split. Something happened where they fractured off. I don't know if one person kept Playdead Studios, but the other guy went off to make his own game, and Somerville is that game. So you're right to have those Playdead vibes with Limbo and Inside. Those vibes are legitimate there, but it's missing the other half of that. And so we'll see how that goes. The other guy from Playdead went off to make his own game too. We just don't know anything yet about it. Mm-hmm. But Somerville was our first look, and yeah, it's nothing but vibes of Inside and Limbo. So excited to see that. So yeah, it was really good to have that from Microsoft, where it's just like game after game after game after game. Regardless of whether I was interested in the game or not, it was just, here's games, here's more games. Out of all of these games, you're going to find one or two that are going to, at least one or two that are going to be like, I'm going to keep that mental note in my head and remember that when it comes down the line. So, and it was also,
'cause I remember E3 in the past, there was more TV, TV, TV.
Well, that's the thing. And we also had that this year with Ubisoft and a couple of others. Again, Devolver sits in its own room. I don't lump them in with all of this stuff, because it was nothing but talk and, you know, less talky-talky, more showy-showy is exactly what I say. Just show me the games. You don't have to talk about them. If you want to talk about them, show me the game while you talk about them. You know, it's one of those situations. But that's, you got that from Microsoft. You didn't much get it from anybody else. Nintendo, kind of an outlier as well. I don't know why. I think because they stick to formula, which is what they always do with their Nintendo Directs. Like, you couldn't, outside of the title that it was E3 and maybe some of the games they showed, you really couldn't tell the difference between one Nintendo Direct and the other, because they're just doing it in the same format that they always do it in. So that's why it didn't feel different, I guess. I don't mean it, just in the presentation aspect of it, which is an odd thing for me to focus on, but sometimes I just want them to shut up and show me games. And they don't do it. What else do we have? Halo Infinite's battle passes will never expire, although they only offer cosmetic items. Rare is working on a game called Everwild. They showed that, I don't know if it was last year or at the Game Awards maybe, but it's pushed now to 2024. So we won't hear about that again for a while. There are now 40 free indie game demos from Summer Game Fest that are on both Xbox and whatever, games with Windows or whatever that is. You can play them on PC or Xbox. The ones that are PC that have that option, you can play them there as well. There's like 40 of them. And it's only there for like a week. So, and that time is already like halfway over. So if you want to play some of the demos from E3, then check that out on your Xbox system, by the way. Starfield is Xbox exclusive. Pete Hines says he's sorry about it, but Todd Howard seems to think that it'll be better because they're only focusing on the one system to develop for. I say one system. Basically, they're developing it for PC and Xbox, and so since they don't have to work for it, which I don't know, does having another console, Sony, maybe it does. I don't know. But but he seems to think that it'll be better because they only have to focus on the one thing and not other systems. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes. So that was Microsoft. Squeenix showed off some Final Fantasy stuff and Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a very, very long presentation of Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, it was 30 minutes plus of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is great that you can show gameplay, but 30 minutes of gameplay is a little much.
Yeah.
By 10 minutes, I understand how the game plays. I have a good idea of how the game plays. You can move on.
Aren't those first videos of actual gameplay, it's usually like the, hey, watch our first 15 minutes of gameplay on this title. You know, something like that.
Some of it did repeat, but honestly, especially when they were talking about the development and that sort of thing, and they wanted to show stuff off, but man, I was tired of seeing it. And then the more I saw of it, the more I thought, this doesn't look fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
So
they overdid it.
Maybe. Yeah. It's early yet, but given their history with Avengers, I'm not real hyped on any more Marvel stuff from Square Enix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Avengers didn't do too well.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. What else did we get? That was Squeenix. And so then the PC gaming show. I don't know if you watched that, but there was a ton of stuff out of the PC gaming show as well, which this page is now loading so I can get to it. What were some of the big ones that I could say? I don't know. There's a lot. Dying Light 2. There was a developer interview for that. Orcs Must Die 3, Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song. I think that's the multiplayer thing. What else do we have? I'm scrolling through this stuff real quick and to see if anything shows up that you know. Silt looks kind of cool. What else do we have? It's Tinykin.
All right, guys. Well, I got to head on out.
You got to leave? All right, man.
Yeah.
Take care. Thanks for joining us. We do this
rest of the show.
We do it every Saturday, man. You can, if you can't make it to the show, you can make it on Discord. So
yeah, definitely.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you later.
Take care now.
Bye. Let's see what else from the PC gaming show. I'm looking through this stuff real quick. Okay, obviously nothing there. There's a lot of cool stuff to see, but I just don't know what would hit. Nintendo. A lot of stuff that we got from Nintendo. Was WarioWare, Metroid Dread, of course, Advance Wars 1 and 2 remastered. That was unexpected. Mario Party Superstars, Shin Megami Tensei 5?
Persona 5.
Is that what that is? No. That's Persona 5?
I've always heard of it, associated with it. Shin Megami Tensei.
I don't play. I don't know. I could be. You could be right. I could be wrong. I don't know.
We might both be wrong. Let's see.
Life is Strange coming to the Nintendo Switch. Danganronpa.
Danganronpa.
Yeah. Decadence coming to the Switch as well. What else did we get here? Oh yeah, Mario and Rabbids. Of course, we talked about that because that was Ubisoft. Super Monkey Ball, Banana Mania. Hyrule Warriors was the big thing at the end when they showed off some of Breath of the Wild 2. And there was the addition of that dude from Tekken in Smash.
Kazuya Mishima.
Yeah. So he's in there as well. No announcement of a new Nintendo Switch model, though. Although they kind of gave us a heads up ahead of time saying, look, here's the Nintendo Switch. We're specifically going to talk about games releasing this year and early next year or something like that. They were very, very specific about software, not hardware, of what they were going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Persona's a spinoff of Shin Megami Tensei. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a spinoff. That's why I was associating it with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that was gonna be with that. So I don't know. Are we getting a new Switch? We'll probably find out. I think maybe this summer, or they could do like they did with the Switch itself. Was it the Switch?
No.
Yeah, it was the Switch. They announced it in September, but they still didn't give us a date or anything. So we thought, man, this is because it's getting close to the holiday season. Of course, they released it in March. They didn't release it in the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember they announced, I think they announced in September on that. But they didn't give us a date or a price. They just like, here's what we're working on. Mm-hmm. And so it was one of those things. Yeah, so I don't know when we'll see an upgrade to a new Switch. Maybe this year. Maybe they do a March release. Maybe they don't want to be involved. Maybe given, you know, we talked about this with PS5 and Xbox still hard to get.
Yeah.
That it's likely going to be another really tough Christmas to get a hold of these consoles again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I don't know.
You know, as of this moment, there's still not enough on there to merit, I think, merit me getting one.
Yeah, that's, not a lot of, I mean,
not
that's
a lot of titles on there.
That's perfectly your prerogative on that, man. Mm-hmm. More, that's how it works.
Yeah.
You wait until there's something there that you want to play or a multitude of somethings that you want to play,
yeah.
And then you get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is not apparently how it works for me.
Mm-hmm. You in that day one camp, right?
It's horrible. I want to say I've done better at it, but I really haven't, obviously, because here I sit with two consoles. I didn't buy the Destiny toaster, though, because that was ridiculous.
That exists.
It does. It exists. And it puts the little Destiny insignia on your toast. But it's like an $80 toaster. Are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up because
it's modeled. I say it's modeled. It's actually not because it should look more like the weapon that it's modeled after. They always called the Jotun the toaster weapon because of the way it looks and it spits out fire and everything else. But and so it's got a Jotun design to it, sort of. But it's like $80 for a toaster.
See.
Now I get it. That 10 is it 10% or is it 12? I think it's 12%. Of the purchase goes to charity.
Hmm.
That if it was more percentage goes to charity, I'd actually probably be okay with buying that if more of it went to charity.
I'm looking at this article from Engadget.
You
can now buy a Destiny toaster to go with your future purchase of an Xbox mini fridge.
That's right. They're putting the Xbox mini fridge on sale as well. That's coming out this holiday.
So you can pre-order the toaster right now for $85 from the Bungie store, and it will ship between this December and January of 2022. As Bungie points out, the toaster actually toasts a tricorn emblem onto your bread.
Yeah, it does.
Plus, it comes with a free container to house all your Destiny-themed sandwiches.
It's so ridiculous. It's really, really... like I was like, whatever. I was kind of interested in it, but the more I looked into it, the more I was like, that's way overpriced, and I don't need a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
We have a perfectly good... that thing we have?
Toaster?
It's not a toaster oven, though, is it? Oh, it's an air fryer.
It's
air fryer.
The Ninja air fryer.
Yeah, it's that Ninja thing.
But it's the oven. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
And we can totally get toast out of that. It's not a problem.
Let's see. While the basic two-slice toasters don't match for premium smart and steam-based toasters, it's clearly meant as a bit of fan service, of course.
It is. It's totally that.
I'm sorry. I never heard of steam-based toasters.
The odd thing is that it comes with an emblem when you buy it, and I really like the emblem. It is not worth the price of admission, but if I were to pay it, it would only be because of that emblem. We did not go, God, there's so much to wrap up. We didn't even go over the no-shows. I'm going to have so much to carry over into next week's show.
$330 for a steam-based toaster.
Yeah, it's really...
And a toaster in the world worth $330. Never mind. I'm going off topic.
Maybe.
I'm sorry.
What didn't we get? Oh, man, why didn't you just list the games rather than write out a long article about what was not there?
to keep you invested.
Apparently so. What did we not get? Let's see. We didn't expect to see the Elder Crow, given that Bethesda...
I was saying earlier about who made a bad showing was what I'm hearing about is Capcom. Capcom made a really bad showing.
I didn't even watch it. I think I caught a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I think it narrowed down to just a bunch of DLC announcements that everybody could see coming. So, why are you even there?
Yeah. What else? On the subject of Star Wars, we weren't really expecting to see much of the tie-in that Massive Entertainment is working on, but still, our fingers crossed for at least a teaser. We didn't get it. Beyond Good and Evil 2, we didn't get anything on that one as well. What else didn't we get? Well, Splinter Cell, we talked about. Skull and Bones. Something about Assassin's Creed we never got. The Tom Clancy mashup thing we never got as well. No Final Fantasy 16. No announcement of a PC port for Final Fantasy 7 Remastered. No, nothing from Tomb Raider. Nothing on Deus Ex. What else did we not get? Stranger of Paradise was announced, and then it broke a lot of people's PlayStations until they patched the thing. Mm-hmm. What else did we not have? Well, that's all you listed? I thought we got a lot less. Oh, yeah, there was a rumored Marvel game from Firaxis that was apparently being published by 2K was a no-show, even though it seemed like we were going to get that. A nice little top-down type, you know, I don't know what it would be, but yeah, I was interested in that. Very, what's that Marvel game from a long time ago?
Side-scroller?
Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I think is what it was, yeah. Anyway, I'm way behind here. We got to go. I appreciate everybody listening. Thanks for joining us in the Discord. That's all. We just got to go. Hope you guys have a great week. Here's music from Fury Unleashed, the main theme. We'll see you next Saturday, folks. Sorry, time got away from me.